Baruchim Abayim, ladies. Welcome. I must give you all extra compliments this afternoon. Being that you made the extra effort to come here during a major snowstorm here in the Northeast, it is indeed to your credit. I have to come to the class because it's my job. I get paid to give a class. So if I won't show up, it's stealing from the synagogue. But you don't get paid at all. You're doing this on a volunteer. You are getting paid? Oh, mitzvot you're getting. Yeah, but everybody's getting mitzvot. I mean, you don't have any ulterior motives, physical motives, I mean, monetary. And to that I say Chazak Baruch to all of you. That's what makes our community so unbelievable. Undoubtedly the best community in the world. God looks down at classes like this and says, look at the Jewish people. As much as the Yetzer Hara tries to push them away from me, Am Yisrael is stubborn. We're called Am Kishe Orev. We're stubborn. It takes much more than a few inches of snow and some inclement weather to keep us away from getting close to God. I think you've accomplished a great moment of mercy just by your mere presence today. And I hope, Be'ezrat Hashem, a lot of gezerot ra'ot and bad decrees should dissipate and should go away from the extra effort that you made here today. Ashlechen v'ashlech al-kechen. I also want to acknowledge, I'm sure today many people are watching us online. I don't talk about it enough, but these classes can be seen live on LearnTorah.com. And it's a credit of Rico and a lot of other great people that do so much good work to be mezakeh, to give a merit to others from the comfort of their home or their offices, wherever they may be, that they're able to tap in and log on and watch these shiurim live. The website, Baruch Hashem, has I think over 5,500 videos and audios, and you could probably spend 250 years non-stop, day and night, just listening to Torah tapes and videos on any subject in the world. It's probably the most comprehensive Torah website in the world. And it costs money to run these websites. We don't usually ask for anything, and we don't charge anybody anything to go on the website. It's all free, and as long as I have a say in it, we're going to make sure that it stays free, because we wouldn't want somebody to not listen to a shiur because he has to pay a dollar. But we always have dedications available. So if you go online today to LearnTorah.com, I wrote a letter to all our subscribers. May God give them long life and be well. And I asked them if they could sponsor, to be a sponsor of the website for $36 a month. It's about a dollar a day, something like that, 36 a month, 12 months. It helps us offset a lot of the charges and the money that costs us to run the site. And as gratitude, I committed that whoever makes a sponsorship for this year, you could put a request online for a prayer to get married, to have children. God willing, we're having a big Seudat Purim this year, and I committed to make a prayer for all those people that commit during the Seudat Purim. It says that God answers the prayers on Seudat Purim. So Rico's making me a list so far. We have a lot of names. And it's the least I can do to show my gratitude. I don't know what else I could do. I could just pray. Hopefully God will answer our tefillot. Amen. So go online to LearnTorah.com. You'll see the letter that I wrote. It's very easy just to become a sponsor of the website. Okay, now we have to go back to business, the real business of the Torah. Ladies, we are about to reach one of the most important Shabbatot of the entire year. This Shabbat is the Shabbat of Zachor, where we take out a second Sefer Torah and we read three Pesukim from Parashat Ki Tetze, which talks about our number one enemy, our arch enemy, Amalek, And when we came out of Egypt, Amalek waged a war against us and tried to annihilate us. And we read about the biblical obligation to remember. Every day you have to remember what Amalek did to us, but once a year you must read it from a scroll, a Sefer Torah, to fulfill this mitzvah. I would say to the ladies, if you have a chance to come to Shul this Shabbat, indeed it's the most important Shabbat to be in the synagogue. Because according to many of the rabbis, the ladies are obligated to hear Parashat Zachor as well. It's not only for the men. So please make it your effort to be here to remember Amalek. We have an obligation to destroy Amalek, to wipe them out. How do we fulfill this mitzvah today? When Mashiach comes, he will show us which nation is Amalek. And then we're going to have a lot of courage and strength and go make a war against these people. But today we don't know who Amalek really is. It's not like you could look in the phone book under Amalek and you see Joe Amalek and you can go to his house and shoot him. We don't know who Amalek is. So how do we fulfill the mitzvah today of erasing Amalek? What does it mean today that you're making us come to shul and read it and studying it and talking about it? Amalek, I don't know who Amalek is. But the Torah was written for every generation. And if the Torah says, Mahot Timchaya Etzecher Amalek, erase the memory of Amalek, it means even today we have to erase it. But how? Some of the great tzaddikim, they used to write on the bottom of their shoes, Amalek. So when they would walk, it would erase. So they would fulfill the mitzvah to erase the name of Amalek. I don't recommend it. That's not for us to do. We have the custom on Purim, when they say the name of Haman, we blow the guns. Or in the synagogue, when they say Amalek's name, we stamp our feet. That's the easy way, just to erase the name. When you hear his name, you want to block it out. But today, Be'ezat Hashem, on Yom Ta'anit Esther, I'd like to explain to you, on a deeper level, what exactly Amalek is, what he represents, and how do we erase him. Amalek is not only a physical power. Amalek also has spiritual power as well. But to understand it, we must go to the story in the Torah. It's in Shemot, it's in Perek Yud Zayin. Torah says, "Vayis'u kol adat b'nei Yisrael midbar Sin." The Jewish people went from the midbar called Sin. That's the name of the midbar, Midbar Sin. The Midbar of Sin. Somebody was recently in Las Vegas because that shows. He sent me a text. He says, "Rabbi, I'm in Midbar Sin." The Midbar of Sin. He's right. Midbar Sin. Lemasrahim. Vayachanu b'rfidim. They came to a place called Rfidim. Ve'en mayim l'shtot. There was no water for the people. In the Midbar, there was no water. Vayare v'amim Moshe. The people start to fight with Moshe. ויאמרו תנו לנו מים ונשתה, give us water. ויאמר להם משה, מה תריבון עמדי? What are you fighting with me for? מה תנסו את השם? Why are you testing God? Why are you complaining? Has Borei Olam not provided you everything until now? And now you're starting to question, where's the water? Did Borei Olam forsake you? Didn't he take you out of Egypt? The whole story. ויצעק משה לשם לאמור, מה אעשה לעם הזה? What should I do to these people? עוד מעט וסקלוני. They're going to stone me to death. ויאמר השם אל משה, fine. עבוד לפני העם, go in front of the people, קח את תיכה מזקני ישראל, take some of the rabbis with you, ומתיכה, take the stick, and go hit the rock, and the waters will come out. ויעש כן משה, he did it. ויקרא שם המקום, so they named the place. They renamed the place. Instead of Rifidim, they called the place Masa Umriba. Masa Umriba is the place of argument and strife.
Why? Al Riv Bnei Yisrael, because the people were fighting with Moshe. Ve'al Nasotam Et Hashem Lemor, and they were testing God by saying, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbenu Im Ayin. The Jewish people, could you believe it? They were questioning, where is God? Did he bring us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? Is he going to forsake us now at this moment? They doubted if God was with them. And we can't imagine it, but this is what happened. They were questioning, where is Hashem? He has left us. He's not watching us. There's no divine supervision. He's not aware of our problems. He's not aware of your problems. He took you out of Mitzrayim when you got to Yam Suf. He saw you at the banks of Yam Suf, and he split the sea for you, and he killed all the Egyptians. What do you mean he doesn't not watching you? What does it mean he doesn't know what's going on with you? They came to the question in Emunah, where is Hashem? Hayesh Hashem bekirbenu im ayin. Where is God? This is something amazing to me. No matter how great you are, if you don't continuously work on your faith, you could fall. Because God could take you out of Egypt, show you miracles, wondrous existence, but if you don't keep on strengthening yourself, and all of a sudden things don't go the way you planned, and all of a sudden things don't go the way you want them to, and now all of a sudden you want water and there's no water, right away the Yetzirah comes in, you see, God's not watching you. God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. You think he would take you to Midbar to die of dehydration? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, we're going to call this place Masa Umribah, the great argument. But the Jewish people came and fought God. And they said, Hayesh Hashem bekirbenu, is God with us? Could you believe it? They questioned, is God with us? They were, Im Ayin, is he with us or not? It's like they had a doubt. What's the next pasuk? Vayavo Amalek. Oh, so now we see something. What's the connection between doubting God and Vayavo Amalek? There must be a connection. Why does the Torah put these two stories next to each other? It sounds like, to me, that if this story wouldn't have happened, Amalek wouldn't have came. It's almost as if you have to read it together. Hayesh Hashem bekirbenu im ayin vayavo Amalek. Because they said, where is God? Is God here? Who says there's God in the world anymore? You have doubts. Boom. Vayavo Amalek. So look at that. She says, wait. Samach parasha zu lemikra ze. These two parashiyot are connected to each other. Lomar, God says, Tamid ani binechem. What are you talking about? I'm always with you. Umzuman mechosur chechem. And I'm always prepared to give you all your needs. Vatem omrim hayesh Hashem bekirbenu im ayin. And you come along and question. Hayechem. God swears, Shakelev ba venoshech etchem. I'm going to send a dog, Amalek is a dog, and he's going to come and bite you. Ve'atem tzu'akim li. And then all of a sudden you're going to start saying, oh God, God. Ve'tid'u hechana'ani. Then you'll remember that there's a God in the world. So Amalek is a direct result of the Jewish people questioning God. Mashal. So she gives a parable. The Adam Shirkiv beno al ketefo. A father, he put his son on his shoulders. You know, like the fathers do sometimes. They carry their kids on their shoulders. V'yatza l'derech. Haya oto ha-ben ro'eh hefetz ve'omer. The boy sees something. He wants it. He tells his father, Abba, ton hefetz ze v'ten li. Please, daddy, can I have this over here? The father takes and gives it to him. V'hu noten lo. Anytime the kid sees something on the road, daddy, I want this. The father takes it and gives it to him. All of a sudden, somebody comes on the road towards them. So the son tells this guy he sees on the road. Do you know where my father is? You don't know where I am? I'm carrying you. I'm giving you all your needs. Now you have the chutzpah to ask, did anybody see my father? What did the father do? The father took the kid and threw him off the shoulders. And the dog came and bit the kid. And what does the kid do? Daddy, 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 daddy. Oh, that's what Borei Olam says. You forgot who I am? You're questioning me? Good. Now you'll see what it means if I leave you. Amalek comes. And sure enough, Bnei Yisrael turned to God. And very interesting what it says. Amalek comes to fight. Vayomer Moshe Yehoshua. So Moshe, he doesn't make the war. He tells his student, Yehoshua. Yehoshua is the student of Moshe. Tzeveh lachem ba'amalek. You go out and fight Amalek. He puts Yehoshua as the general to go fight Amalek. Vayaras Yehoshua kasher amadu Moshe. He does it. He goes to fight. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes on top of the mountain. When Moshe would lift his hands, the Gavar Yisrael, the Jewish people would be victorious. When his hands got tired and he settled them down, the Gavar Amalek, then Amalek got strong. So the Pasuk says, Vayhi yadav imuna ad bo hashamesh. His hands had emunah, had faith, until sunset. What is this business over here? Moshe Rabbeinu lifting his hands up, putting his hands down. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the people, you see why Amalek is coming? Amalek always comes when the Jewish people have questions in emunah. When they have safek. Safek is doubts. When they start to question, was God really here? Did God do this? Did this happen by itself? Was this a mistake? Does God know what's happening in this world? When people start thinking like this, where is Hashem? Safek? Safek? Safek means you're in doubt. Then God says Amalek. And the only way to break the Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu puts his hands up to God. And the Jewish people look at Moshe and they see his hands up to God. Vehi adav emunah. The way we break Amalek is through emunah. That means, today when we say to erase the name of Amalek, we don't mean a physical Amalek. Amalek is that power that puts doubt in our minds. That's a Jew that has questions on God. Why does God do this? And why does this happen? And why do the righteous people suffer? And why do the wicked people prosper? And why didn't I get married yet? And I don't have children yet? And I could use some more money and need parnasa. And then we have shalom bayit problems, and there's sick people. And you start to become angry at Hashem. And you start to have doubts. Is there a God? Is there olam abba? Is there all these things that were so simple? But emunah is really not a subject when things are going smoothly. The way you test your emunah is when things don't go your way. Emunah is not someone that says Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, like we see people all day long. They can't write a sentence unless they put Baruch Hashem 15 times in the sentence. Every other word, Be'ezat Hashem, Be'ezat Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Be'ezat Hashem. I'm sorry to tell you, just because you say Baruch Hashem all day long does not mean you have emunah. You speak emunah, you talk emunah. The emunah is only tested when things don't go your way. Then already, let's see, Baruch Hashem, Be'ezat Hashem, Imir Hashem, everything. When you don't understand life, then already you need emunah. When the Jewish people were in the Midbar and everything was fine, we don't know if they have emunah or not. All of a sudden they went one day, there was no water. There's no water, where's Hashem? Now you see that they really didn't have so much emunah. Because they should have said, Hashem will take care of it. Hashem is with us till now. Borei Olam loves us. He never harms us. He always has our best interest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a good God. He's Tov U'metiv. He does good and he does better. And Hashem does not want to harm his children. And even if we can't understand it, who are we to understand God? How can the creation understand its creator? We're only a creation, we're not the creator. How dare we think we can have an understanding of the Kol Yachol, of the Almighty, of the All-Powerful, of the All-Knowing. It is impossible for us to know this. And therefore, When a Klal Yisrael finds himself in trouble, then we look, where's the Emunah? And then Amalek comes. Amalek comes and says, you see, there's no God. The whole thing is a hoax. There's no Olam Haba. There's no nothing. There's no reward. The whole thing is it's a charade. The whole thing is a game that they made on you. That's Amalek. Amalek always comes and tries to put doubt in you. So he's still around today, Amalek. Not the physical one, but the tum'ah of Amalek. Chas v'shalom, if a Jew is walking in the street and has doubts on Hashem, does Hashem know what I'm doing? You know where that thought comes from? From Amalek. If a Jew doubts if there's reward and punishment, if a Jew doubts the resurrection of the dead, if a Jew doubts eternity, all these principles that we believe in, if a Jew doubts that the Torah was given by God to Moshe on Sinai, all these questions that you have in Emunah, this comes from Amalek. That Tumah is still around today. And the only way to destroy Amalek is through Emunah. Where do we get Emunah from? So I'll tell you one of the great rabbis, the way he explained. Where do we get the Emunah? The Mishnah says in the Pirkei Avot, Rabban Gamliel haya omer, Ase lecha rav vestalek min asafek. Rabban Gamliel used to say, make for yourself a rabbi. You need to have a teacher. You need to have a mentor. Ase lecha rav. Not a rav, so you can know halachot only. Rabbi, the milk felt in the meat, is it kosher? Not only for that. Not only a rabbi to know, is it mutar or is it asur? Is it kasher or is it taref? Aseh lecha rav, you need a rabbi in order to give you emunah. In order to guide you. In the dark times of life, when a person's emunah starts to become in doubt, the Mishnah is saying, you need to have a rav. When you go to the hacham, and the hacham speaks words of faith, and puts you back on the right track. Just like if a person goes in dangerous waters, he can only go in if there's a lifeguard there, that can save him if something happens. When a person is drowning in emunah, he's drowning in questions, he's drowning in sefekot, he needs to have a rav that he can go to. And that's what the Mishnah says. Aseh lecha rav v'estalek min asafek. When a person's in safek, is there God? Is there not? Why doesn't he answer my prayers? Where is he? I've been praying for so many years for this and it never happens. Why does they have, she has a better life than I do. I'm a bigger tzaddiket. All these questions, must be maybe God doesn't reward us. All these questions, where are you going to go to get answers? Aseh lecha rav v'stalek min asafek. And then, in the zichut of having a rav, the sefekot go away. But I'm going to tell you even deeper. The numerical value of Amalek, how much is Amalek equal? 240. Don't take my word. Amalek ayin is 70. Mem is 40. 70 and 40 is 110. Lamed is 30. That's 140. Kof is 100. 240. Amalek, Gematria, 240. There's another word in Lashon HaKodesh that also equals 240. Which is actually the Tum'av Amalek, the Kilipav Amalek. And that's the word Safek. Samech is 60. Pe is 80. That's 140. And Kof is 100. Safek Gematria 240, which is exactly the Gematria of Amalek. That's Amalek. And that's what Rabban Gamliel is telling you. Aseh lecha rav, you need to have a rav. V'stalek min asafek. When the kilipa of safek comes, the kilipa of doubt, the tumah of where you're lacking in emunah, where you're questioning God. Aseh lecha rav. And that's why We explained once, you remember when the Jewish people were complaining about the water? They said, well, where's the water? We don't have water. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say to them? Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vayomer lahem Moshe, matiribun emadi. Why are you fighting with me?" What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? They weren't fighting with him, they were fighting with God. He says, "Matinasun et Hashem, why are you challenging God?" Yes, they were challenging God, but they weren't challenging Moshe. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu say, "Matiribun emadi? What do you want from me?" Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, if you would have total trust in your rabbi, who was Moshe, then this wouldn't have happened. The fact that you're fighting on God is because you don't have trust in the Rav. Matiribun emadi. If you would have had the Asel Echad Rav, you would not have Safek. But it seems the Jewish people at that moment, for some reason, they fell away from the trust they had in Moshe Rabbeinu. Mora Rabach ke Mora Shamayim. The way you come to fear God, you need a connection to Hashem. You cannot go straight. You need to have a pipe that connects you to the upper worlds. And the connection to the upper worlds and to God is the Rav. If a person doesn't have a Rav, he doesn't know how to attach himself. And he drowns, Chas v'Shalom. Aseh lecha Rav. V'stalek min ha-safek. Safek gematria amalek. A person has a lawyer. A person has a doctor. A person has a stockbroker. Person needs to have a rabbi also. Not like we see sometimes there's people, they don't have a rabbi. Or we see better than this. We see shuls, they don't have rabbis in the shul. No rabbis. What does it mean? Can you have a ship without a captain? Could you have a plane without a pilot? Imagine they told you in the middle of the flight, there's no pilot on this plane. There's no pilot. How are we flying? We're going, we're just going. We'll get there with the autopilot. There's no such thing. You need a Rav. Rav doesn't mean that you go to shul and the rabbi sits over here and you have no connection with him and he has no connection with you and that's it. He sits as a title. And he gets up 15 minutes, says derash, a very good Hazak Baruch. You need to have a close connection with the Rav. Because when life is going easy, of course you don't need a lawyer. But once you have a case against you, you better have a lawyer's number very fast. Of course you don't need a doctor every day. But God forbid something happens, you have to have a doctor on hand. Of course when things are good, what do you need a rabbi for? But in the challenging times of life, if you don't have a Rav, then where do you go? Then it's you're fighting Amalek yourself. Who could fight Amalek on their own? That Safek comes and it grows and it grows and it grows. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Matinibune, you're fighting with me. Had you trusted me and accepted and questioned me and asked me, I would have guided you. That's why we explained. Who did Moshe Rabbeinu choose to fight the war? Yehoshua. Why? Who's Yehoshua? His student. Because Yehoshua was the loyal student of Moshe Rabbeinu. He had emunah in Moshe. He trusted Moshe. And therefore, you can go fight Amalek. Yehoshua has no doubts. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, he accepts. And that brings him to the emunah. But I want to explain you even deeper. One of the great rabbis said that when you stand to pray in front of Borei Olam, in the Amidah, or in the house, in the Tefillah, whatever it may be, you have to picture in your mind, without a doubt, that there's somebody, an entity, a deity, that's in front of you. You have to mamash picture it as much as you can, that there's really somebody in front of you that you're looking at. Now I know you're not allowed to think that God is a body, Hasb Shalom, in lo guf, in lo demut a guf. You're not allowed to give God an image. You're not allowed to give God a picture. But you have to have such a reality that when you're praying, that it's beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's somebody standing in front of me over here. And just like I'm talking to him, he's looking at me. This is the high level. If a person would really believe it, b'li safek, without a doubt, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in front of them, but you believe it, and he's looking at you, and you're looking at him, and you're talking to him, and he's listening, a person wouldn't pray the Amidah with his hand in his pocket. You're standing in front of God, you have your hand in your pocket. When we would pray in Magen David, many years ago, in the Minyan, so we were kids, in the 7th grade, the 8th grade, we would pray the Amidah with our hands in our pocket, like this. Hachem Baruch Alav Hashem would come from behind us, and he would take our hands out of our pockets. We didn't know what he was doing, so we put our hands back in our pockets again. Until he came, and he gave us a makkah. He said, Chutzpah, you're standing in front of God. You pray with your hands in your pocket, or you're standing on a bus stop? You're talking to Borei Olam. Explanation is, because of course we believe that Hashem's there, but is it certain? Are you 100% that you believe? So you have to put in your mind before you pray the Amidah, be'emet, there's something in front of me. And the halakha does that for us. Halakha says when somebody's praying the Amidah, you're not allowed to look in front of him. Why not? Because the Shekhinah is there. Imagine I'm talking to somebody. I'm standing 2 feet away, and then somebody walks in between us. What are you doing? You see, I'm talking to somebody. Chutzpah. Walk around. Halakha. If I'm in the Amidah and somebody's behind me, and I want to make Oseh Shalom, I cannot make Oseh Shalom. Because if I take 3 steps back, I'm walking into the Shekhinah behind me. All these halakhot are to remind you it's a reality. As much as we know this, but it's safek to us still. It's safek. Why? Because if we really believe this, every single time before we would get up to pray, we would take a shower first, and we would shave, and we would put on a tuxedo, and we would make sure that we have everything is perfect, like we're visiting the king. So as much as we know it, we have to work on it. That we're talking and standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the first halakha in the Shulchan Aruch, the first halakha, page 1. I'm going to read it to you. The halakha writes in the Rama, it's actually a quote from Harambam. Harambam writes, you see what I'm going to tell you. The Yetzer Hara is unbelievable. He's such a conniver and a trickster. The Yetzer Hara sometimes tells us, Hashem is very great. Ram bin Isa, God is very big. He's very powerful. He's in the upper worlds. Why is that the Yetzer Hara? Because he wants to make it that God is far from you. Don't fall for that. As great as God is, He's close to us. He's very close to us. He's near. Ki karov elecha. When we pray the Amidah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets us talk to Him directly. Baruch Ata. Wow. You know what Ata means? You. Maybe some of you ever went to visit a king or a queen. You know when you visit the queen, there's a protocol. You're not allowed to tell the queen, how are you? You're not allowed to say the word you. You say to your friend, hey you, come here. To the queen, you say, how is the queen? You talk to her in third person. How is her royal majesty? You don't say, how are you doing? What if it was my friend? You was too close. You was too direct. You have to talk in third person. Even sometimes you see the students when they talk to the rabbi. How's the rabbi? Why did they say, how are you? I can talk to you like straight. It's too close. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to pray, what does he say? Say Atah. We can't say Atah. We can't say Atah. You, what do you mean you? Atah, you give us wisdom. We should say, God Almighty provides wisdom for the world. We say, no, you, Atah, Oneh Nadam Da'at. You know why Hashem lets us say the word Atah? Because he wants us to really believe and feel that he's in front of us. Not the king, the lofty, the great. Oh, that's somewhere else. I don't know where that is. Atah is you, you're here. Listen to the first halakha of Shulchan Aruch. Shviti Adonai lenegdi tamid. Hu klal gadol b'Torah. There's a rule in the Torah. You always have to image, visualize that God is in front of me always. Hu klal gadol b'Torah. It's a great rule. B'malot ha-tzadikim. And this is the tzadikim, how they get close. Ki en yeshivat ha-adam b'tenu'otav v'asaka v'hu lebado b'beto. A person, when he's alone in the house and nobody's watching him, he sits one way. If a person knows somebody's watching him, he talks in a different way, he sits in a different way, he dresses in a different way, he acts in a different way. Or the more so if a person really believed that God is watching every single action. Even if you're in a closet and you close the closet and you shut the lights and you go underneath the table, Baruch Hu sees him. Miyad yagia elav hayir'a v'achna'a b'pachad Hashem yitbarach u'boshto memenu tamid. The great tzaddikim, they always understood Shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamid, God is in front of me always. They believed it. I told you once of the great Sadiq, when he would sit, his hand would just be moving, his finger would be moving back and forth. They thought, what are you doing, Rabbi? All day long he writes, Yud Ke Vav Ke, Yud Ke Vav Ke. All day long, his hand's like automatic. So he doesn't forget. And the great Sadiqim, when they walk, you know what they see in front of them? Yud Ke Vav Ke. They think of the image of Hashem in front of them. Shiviti Adonai v'negdi tamid. You see, Yud Kevav, that's what they see all day long in front of them. Even when they're talking, Yud Kevavke. Some of the tzaddikim carry in their pocket a paper, Yud Kevavke, and they're walking. Oh, that's a lot. And that's what the Gemara says in Berachot. Listen to unbelievable Gemara. You see, this is your reward, ladies, this is your reward. Because you come out in the snow and you give great effort, our reward today is we're working on our emunah. There's a fight, there's a war, we're fighting Amalek. What do you think when they go out to fight a war against the enemy and it's snowing, does a soldier say, well, we can't go today, it's snowing? They have to fight under all conditions. When we're coming to fight against Amalek, we have to fight, we have to climb mountains in order to get to him. In order to fight him, there's no such thing as conditions that are not favorable. Listen to the Gemara in Berachot. Kishehala Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. Yohanan ben Zakkai got sick. Nechnesu talmidav lebakero. So the students went to visit him. Amru lo Rabbeinu barechenu. Oh, they said, Rabbi, our Rabbi, bless us, please. Before he dies, bless us. Amar lahem yehi ratzon. Shetehe mora shamayim alechem kemora basar vadam. You should fear God like you fear people. Your fear of God, of heaven, should be like you fear your friend. Amru lo talmidav ad kan. The student said, that's it, that's the beracha. I thought you have to fear God on the highest level. You tell me, fear God like I feel my friend? What kind of blessing is that? Amar lahen ulvai. He said to them, I wish you could get to this level. Tedu, kishe Adam over avera, omer shelo yirani Adam. When a person is about to commit a sin, what does he do? He looks around to make sure nobody's watching. Ah, you should reach the level that when you're about to make a sin, you look around and you see if Hashem's watching. When a person makes a sin, he's careful to check if the coast is clear. He doesn't want to get caught. That your fear of God should be like the fear of people. The tzaddik that understands that Hashem is in front of him always is a different level. Now I'm going to tell you a big chiddush. What's the opposite of safek? To be sure, but in Hebrew, what's the opposite of safek? Vadai. I explained to you. If you ask me a question, and I'm hemming and hawing, let me think, I don't know, that means I have safek, I'm not sure. But if you ask me a question, I answer you absolutely, vadai. What does vadai mean? For sure. The opposite of safek is vadai. Don't think that this word vadai is a small word. Vadai is one of the names of Hashem. Vav, Dalid, Aleph, Yud. And when a person has kavana in this name, vadai, he's certain. He's able to break the safek of Amalek. Amalek always says, who says, you believe what the rabbi is telling you? Come on, he's exaggerating, you don't really believe in this stuff. That's all sefik, doubts. And the way we go against sefik is with emunah, emunah vadai. There's no question, there's Hashem, there's no question. Emunah peshuta, it has to be, we believe. That's why Haman hated Mordechai so much. Mordechai is vadai. He has no doubts. How do I know he has no doubts? You remember when, I know you don't remember, but in the story, when Haman was walking by Mordechai, and everybody has to bow to Haman. What does it say about Mordechai? Velo kam, velo za' min menu. It says two things. He didn't get up, but not he didn't get up. Velo za', he didn't even flinch. You know what that means? Another person, of course he doesn't want to bow down to Haman. Haman is Avodah Zarah. He doesn't want to bow down to him. But another person, when Haman would walk by, you'd see him like squirming a little, moving, because he doesn't want to do it, but he wants to do it. Mordechai says, nothing, it didn't move. He said, I know for sure, this is Avodah Zarah, it's wrong, there's no safek. He didn't let himself even... So you see, he's debating it. Should I, shouldn't I? No, loza, that's what bothered Haman. If he would have seen Mordechai move a little, he'd say, okay, at least he's thinking about it. At least he's contemplating it. Okay, I'll leave him alone. But the fact that Mordechai is a rock, he's sitting like this, stone. Vayimale Haman al Mordechai chema, he got so angry. Because what's Haman? Who's Haman's great-grandfather? Haman's great-great-grandfather is Amalek. Which is Amalek. Haman is a direct descendant of Amalek. His whole thing is to put doubt in the people. And when he saw a man that had so much conviction, it bothered him. When he saw Mordechai, you can't budge him. It was like pouring water on fire. Haman couldn't take it. That's why we read Zachor on Shabbat, and we're going to read the Megillat Esther Motzei Shabbat. We read about Amalek in the Perasha, then we read a story of Amalek between Haman and Mordechai. And just like the story we read on the Torah is the story that the Jewish people questioned God, Amalek came with Safek. And once Moshe Rabbeinu lifted his hands be'emunah, Amalek fell. Then we read another story. Mordechai was steadfast. He was vadai. He had no doubts. And Haman fell. I'm going to tell you what Rabbi Ari writes. Rabbeinu Ari says that we see this name Vadai in the prayers. There was one big Sadiq called David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. He believed in God, he saw God, like you see this box. To David HaMelech, God was tangible. How do I know? If you ever read the chapters of Tehillim, you see the way he talks about Hashem, you see the way he relates to God, you see the way he praises Hashem. David is the epitome of Vadai. Hashem to him is a reality more than any other reality. That's why in the prayers we say in the morning, Vaybarech David. Maybe once you said that chapter. After Hallelujah, Hallelujah el-Bekocho, there's Vaybarech David. What does it say? Vaybarech David et Adonai. Rashi Tevot Vadai. Vaybarech is Vav. David is Dalet. Vaybarech David et is Aleph. Hashem Yud Keva Yud. When David blessed God, he had no doubt that God was in front of him. It was beyond the shadow of a sefek. Also, I'll tell you what else the Arizal said. If you take the letters of Hashem, Yud Ke, the first letter of God's name is Yud. The second letter is He. How do you spell Yud He? Yud is Yud Vav Dalet, Yud. Yud Vav Dalet, Yud. He is what? He Aleph. If you take all those letters, Yud Vav Dalet, He Aleph, those letters, if you scramble them, it spells Havadai. Our belief in Yud Ke has to be Bevadaut, without any Safek. By the way, just as an added bonus, I'll tell you, Arizal says, that's how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go up to Hashem, because his emunah was so pure that he believed in Hashem without a doubt, and whoever believes on that level, there's no Amalek in him. He destroyed Amalek. He believes in the Shem Vadai, you can go up to the highest levels. That's why, what's the numerical value of Vadai? Help me, ladies. Vav is 6. Dalet is 4, that's 10. Aleph and Yud is 11. 10 and 11 is 21. 21 blackjack. 21 is what? 21 is the Gematria Vadai. What's the Gematria Vadai? Why is 21? Do you remember when Moshe Rabbeinu was taking the Jewish people out of Egypt? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, what should I tell them? Who sent me? They're going to ask me what your name is. What do I tell them? Aha. So God says, tell them Ehyeh sent me. Ehyeh. What's the numerical value of Ehyeh? Aleph and He is 6. Yud He. I'm sorry, Aleph is 1. He is 5. That's 6. Yud He is 15. 15 and 6 is 21. He is the same gematria as Vadai. God was telling them, tell them, as long as they still believe in the Egyptians, and they believe in the Avodah Zarah, that's what's happening in Egypt. They believed in God, but they also believed in the other stuff, like many people. They believe Judaism, they believe in the mitzvah, but at the same time, it's not 100%. They also have a little of the other stuff also. They want to hold the rope on both sides. God says, tell the people Ehyeh, that they have to make a commitment. Vadai, there's no safek in God. And once they make that commitment, the ma'am tedaki ani Hashem, then everybody's going to be redeemed. And that's the fight, ladies. The fight against Amalek is the battle of Emunah. And it says at the end of time, before Mashiach comes, that's when the battle is going to be the most fierce and the most strong. Don't you know? If you ever looked at a candle, when the candle is running out of oil, right before it's about to go out, what happens to the candle? It gives one last spark, and then it goes out. The same thing, Bar Minan, you see many times, you shouldn't see it, but it happens, before a person passes away. They're lying in bed for many weeks, and all of a sudden, one morning, they have strength, and they start to say something, and you think, oh, they're getting better, and then boom, they pass away. How can it be? Because always, at the end, there's one last burst of strength. Mashiach is coming soon, Be'ezat Hashem. Especially now, in the months of Adar and Nisan, these are the greatest months of the year, the months of Ge'ula. And Amalek knows he's almost finished. The powers of Amalek know they have just a little more time. So they're coming one more strength, one more battle. And that's why, Bar Minan, we see in our time so much things we don't understand. So much troubles and so much sarot and so much people in agony. And Amalek is trying to put us in sefik. He's trying to put us in that. You see, there's no God. There's no judgment. Doesn't pay to be a tzaddik. Look what happens to tzaddikim. Doesn't pay to give charity. Look what gives charity. Sefik, put it in doubt. And that's why it gets more severe and more severe, and the battle is becoming much more intense. And every single day we hear from good people the problems. If we would hear the Shaim, we'd say, okay, good, the Shaim. God's punishing the wicked. But we don't hear this too often. We just hear about people that are doing mitzvot and Torah. And we're wondering to ourselves, oh, maybe it's all a joke, this. Maybe it's not true, all these books, all these words, all this whole business. Maybe. And Amalek is putting doubt in the people. I don't know if there's been such a generation with so much every day, more things. This is an indication to me that the war's almost over. That he's shooting all his bullets, he's shooting everything just to get, he's panicking. He's desperate. He knows that he's almost finished, therefore he has to shoot all the bullets out very quickly. But it's incumbent upon us to fight. If you want to fight Safek, 240 Amalek Gematria, you need a rabbi. Your rabbi connects you to Borei Olam. You need to have Emunat Hachamim. You need to connect to the power of the Vadai. To the work that Hashem is in front of me. And to work on these Inyanim of Emunah. And if you have questions, go to the Hacham. Speak it out like you would go to your lawyer or your doctor. And then the rabbi is able to take you from Sefek to Vadai. And that's why our rabbis tell us, how was Mordechai so strong? He knew not to bow down. Doesn't even flinch. The Zohar HaKadosh writes, Mordechai was the Gilgul of Moshe Rabbeinu. He had the Neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, the numerical value of Moshe is 345. Mordechai is called Ish Yehudi. The numerical value of Ish Yehudi is 346. It's one off. But they say Moshe is 345 plus the name Moshe is 346. You can add the name also, the kolel, the name itself. Ish Yehudi equals Moshe. So Mordechai had the faith like Moshe Rabbeinu, unwavering. And this is how we break Amalek. Vayibarech David et Hashem, with the Shem Ehyeh. And guess what? At the end of the day, we beat Amalek in the Perasha, we beat Amalek in Megillat Esther, and I don't want to spoil the ending of the story for you, but we're going to overcome Amalek at the end of time as well. And who's overcoming? You ladies. Who's fighting Amalek? It's us, the ones that still have Emunah. The conservative and the reform, they gave up the Emunah already. They took the Emunah and they put it in the Genizah already. They have no Emunah. They already turned religion into convenience. They turned it into They doctored it. They played with it. They reconstructed it. This is not Judaism anymore. Who's the ones that are holding on to the emunah under all the troubles? Who's the? It's us. We shouldn't be tested. Lo nidei nisayon. But that's something we should give us happiness on Purim. The happiness on Purim is that we're still on the battlefield and we're not going to give in. When the Nazis came against some of the Jewish people, and there was one great rabbi, and they took his wife, and they took his children, and they took everything from him. And he said to Borei Olam, they took everything away from me, but they could not take you away from me. And as much as you're trying to push me away, I'm not going to let you push me away, Hashem. As much as you're trying to get me to not like you, and to have questions on you, I'm not going to let you, Hashem. Even if you do more, I'll still get closer to you. These are the great tzaddikim, that they recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great, and He runs the world, and everything is guided by Him, and He's good. He's good not the way we understand good. He's good the way He understands it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He's much deeper than our thinking, and that's good also. Hashem is supposed to be do things that we don't understand sometimes. And then Be'ezat Hashem, just like God made miracles Be'yamim Mehem in those days, He'll make miracles Be'zemen Hazeh. God should take away all the sifikot from us. We should be able to fulfill Shaviti Adonai L'Negdi Tamid, that God is a reality, that there's a Vada'ut. And the Gemara says on this, En Safek Motzi Mide Vada'i. En Safek, the Safek of Amalek. En safek mutzi mideh vaday. The safek cannot fight against the people that have steadfast emunah. Umordechai lo yichra' velo yishtahaveh. We have to strengthen ourselves. Lo kam velo za'ah. To be committed with great, great stability. Not to move as much as they're trying to move us from our emunah. It has to be embedded. And then Be'ezat Hashem it's going to be v'gavar Yisrael. The Jewish people will overcome our enemies, like it says in the Pasuk, Ve'ata al bamotemo tedroch. Amen, ken yiratzon.